Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Based in Santa Ana, California, BioAno Power provides the highest performance lithium ion phosphate batteries for the marine market. These batteries are one quarter the weight of sealed lead acid batteries, provide over 2,000 to 3,000 charge cycles in a 10 plus year service life. These batteries can be used for any deep cycle application, including running fish finders, trolling motors, live wells, and LED lights. For more information, visit BioAnoPower.com. That's BioAnoPower.com or contact dealers nationwide.
Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. This is the final cast segment with your hosts Brad Hicks and Josh Eldridge, where we cast our final opinions on all products, good and bad. Welcome to the final cast.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's Josh. Hey. Final cast is back.
Yeah, yeah.
How Brad, you doing, nice. Brad?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Brad got off work early today. Got to go fishing.
I know it was fun.
Had to send us fishing pictures to make everybody jealous who's still at work.
Yeah, that's what I do.
It is what you do. Like, you do it every week on Wednesday.
Well, if I catch a good one, if I catch like a small one, I'm not going to send it to you guys.
You should. And just rub it in everybody's face every day.
Put it up to the camera like a real tiny one. Yep.
Well, we've got a awesome show today. We have Tiffany Rames, who reached out to us recently, and she shared that they have an app in process. She just noted to me, so everybody just kind of take note of this, that it's not on Android yet. It is in the works. So just get that out there before you guys all start running to the app store looking for this on Android. It's not there yet. But she reached out to us and wanted to talk about the app that they have in development called Kayak Venture. And she gave a description to me, and I lit up right away because being a river angler, this is something that I really, really could find a good use for. And even like Brad and I both obviously are on the Loveland Canoe and Kayak Fishing team. And we work with a shop whose main priority is rentals. And one thing that I've noticed, Brad, you may have noticed this too, is that there's some businesses that are starting to pop up on the river, like restaurants and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I thought we'd have, you know, Tiffany on to talk about what this app does. And there's a lot of good information that they are setting up for people who are into paddling sports and other things too, as well. If I remember correctly, you said, you know, biking and trails and that sort of thing. And I think this is a great idea. So Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to go ahead and, you know, give us a little history about yourself and, you know, what you're into outdoors, and we'll get into the app.
Sure. So we started doing kayaks about 4 years ago. My dad was helping redo an old quarry into a public park, and they put a bid out to see if anybody wanted to do kayaks because they got a lot of requests to do kayak rentals out there, and nobody took the bait. And so he decided in 2017 to invest in kayaks, some RTMs, if you're familiar with them at all. They are typically ocean resort rental kayaks, so they're mm-hmm. real hard to sink, and you can usually get a lot of people on them. So that's where we started. And then last year we expanded to a creek here in Iowa that is a kind of feast or famine kind of creek. Either there's too much water or not enough water. And then we do a small lake there now. And then we just found out last week that we are going to be able to do the Des Moines River for about a 2-hour float, landing at a place called Captain Rice. So that's cool because the Des Moines has kind of been missing that, and they're working on an initiative by 2030, I think, is when it's all supposed to be completed, to even have like a kayak playground and have a lot more access. And the idea is, you know, you clean up the waterways as you get more people on it and more people aware. And so we're kind of trying to be involved in that because it's important to us. We're kayak people, which is why the app is called Kayak Venture, right? So initially it was just going to be a way to find renters. Cause like I said, we do rentals and sales. And it was a way to find other renters when you go other places, right? So you guys mm-hmm. are in Ohio, you said, right?
Yeah.
So if I was going to go to Ohio, how do I not try to strap my kayak to a Honda Civic and, you know, drive to Ohio, risk yeah. having somebody jack it off my car or anything like that? So the idea was to be able to find rentals. And as we started developing it, it was originally my dad and my brother's idea. And I said, you know, being the girl that's out talking to everybody as they're getting on the water, what we're missing is a way to tell people what the hazards in the water are, what they're running into, good, bad, or otherwise, right? So you want to be able to say, hey, there's a tree down. You're going to have to port. I'd suggest the left side instead of trying to trudge through the mud on the right side, that kind of stuff. Good fishing spots, cool sights to see, that kind of stuff. And it's something where you can, obviously, as you're going through rapids or trying to like portage around a tree, you can't do it immediately. But you can go back and drop the pin if you're aware of accesses that people aren't aware of, or put in or take out spots that, in Iowa, there's a lot of climbing up muddy banks to get in and out of water, which is kind of what they're working on developing out, right? But there are sometimes, like, we know where there are the places that we've always gotten in and out since we were teenagers doing tube floats. So it's a way to be as safe as possible. Long-term wise, we're looking to team with like our local DNR here and hopefully expand out. Because there are a lot of things, like we also have been working with the Iowa Environmental Council because they do like a water checkup or weekly water update where, you know, like what the toxin levels are and the oxygen levels and algae. Because like there's like, I think it's called black algae here. That's like a big deal that people are transporting from their grimy lakes to the riverways, and it's affecting fish populations and those sort of things. So the idea is to be able to get that information out to people more universally because, you know, I'm sure you guys are aware there's only so many Facebook pages, forums, websites, blogs, podcasts that you can listen to. And everybody kind of has their own niche, right? Like, so we do Beaver Creek, the Des Moines, and the quarry out in Colfax are our main places. So we know all about those places, but we get a lot of calls and questions about other rivers in the area. And I'm like, no idea. I don't test them. And we, with our rental business, we go down weekly. So we're not putting people on moving water rental wise that we haven't just dropped Legos on the floor. Sorry. we don't put anybody on moving water that we haven't already been down. So when we're sending people down, we usually do a GoPro time lapse. We inform the cities that we're working with in and the fire departments, right? So if they do need to go and rescue anybody, they kind of have an idea of where those problem areas are.
Yeah.
So it was a way to kind of take that and make it a little more global, if that makes sense. And then as we were developing it, it uses, right now it uses Apple Maps. So anywhere that you can look at an Apple Map, you can see where there's a hazard. And I'm like, you know, I'm guessing that there are there's a lot of cycling here in the Des Moines area. And I was like, you know, there are cracks and there are bridges that are down and there are like, it's summer in Iowa, so it's construction season. So there's a lot of like bridges that are out that people may not necessarily know because they don't follow the right DNR page or the DOT page or whatever it is. So it's the idea that it's the community, right? It's you as a as a kayaker, you want to make sure that other people on kayaks are being safe and have that information. Same with the hikers and the bikers. So
That strainer idea is huge because, as Josh knows and I know, here in Ohio, we have a river called the Mad River, and I stay away from that river just because I hear there's so many strainers on that river, and it's already a quick-moving river. It's pretty sketchy at times. I floated it a couple times, but there's one stretch where I stay away from it because I've heard bad things about a really gnarly strainer there, and it would be nice to know if it's cleared up or not.
Sure. Yeah, it's the kind of river, it's narrow in a lot of areas and it's quick and it's spring fed too. So it's actually probably the colder one. Yeah, it's the coldest one in our local area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those places, like if you're riding the current, it's real easy to get pushed like within a foot, you know, or less of the bank, and you've got trees and stuff piled in those corners like that. And it can be kind of a sketchy. The Mad River, like he's talking about, is one that if I'm going to fish it, I'm going to stay in that area or I'm going to go on foot because it's real windy too. So, and we even have another river. It's kind of the more northern you go, the smaller it gets, the more strainers that it has that affects it. But it's an awesome idea. My kind of question was with the app, this is the big thing that I wanted to ask, because with the ability to pinpoint like an obstacle or strainer or something like that, is it going to be readily seen, and is it time stamping that information? So the next user who's using it and goes down there will say, okay, well, this was yesterday, so this strainer is going to still probably be here.
So right now it's set to that each pin is supposed to stay on for 7 days. We're kind of talking about, it does timestamp it. So if you're kind of planning ahead of time, you can like look at those different timestamps. But right now they're only staying on for 7 days, which for us, like we do weekend rentals. So everything to me kind of is on a 7 day rotation, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that everything that you're looking at is fresh. Like I know that there are other apps where the information that you pull up could be from 2016, which is great to know historically, but like doesn't serve a lot as far as like we're getting ready to go down. What's it look like? Because if you're dropping pins, especially like the creek that we do, it's like 4.5 or 5 miles, and it takes 2 hours, and it's a lot of sharp turns and curves, and so it's fine to look at. Like if I were to compare our maps this year to last year, the river has even changed a bit because they did go in and they cleaned up a bunch of stuff from last year. So the flow is a little bit different from where the down trees are, where they kind of like cut grooves out so that you can make it through without having to like hard hairpin turn around all of those trees. So it's interesting to know what happened last year, but in this app, it's more kind of like, what am I looking at now? What am I like dropping a pin so people can see what they're coming down and seeing after me? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Crap, it just slipped my mind.
So we're looking at kind of extending that time a little bit to be between 14 and 21 days, just because there are some things that don't need to necessarily drop off after 7 days, because like construction is construction. And in theory, like once it's done, you can drop the pin and be like, hey, we made it through just fine. Everything is good. And that would be the new pin that people could see. You are also able to do on each of those pins, drop more comments in, right? So if you see this tree, we made it on the left side, you know, a week later, if the water's gone down 6 or 8 inches, hey, we had a harder time getting around on this side. We had to go all the way up on the bank, or you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever use the Waze GPS app or not.
Yeah. So
that's kind of what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
Great. So everybody's going to be lying about all the radar on the river now.
No, I just, my mind went towards like I just think it's funny because you could tag like roadkill on that app and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Over the 9,000 cops that I was supposed to see on my way to St. Clair last year, and I maybe saw like 2 out of the 25 that came up. We were always laughing about it. Yeah. We'd start slowing down and be like, "Where is it?" And then it'd be like, "I think people are just pinning this just to mess with people." It's probably the cops. The cops are just sitting there like, "We don't have to run radar. Let's just slow everybody down with an app."
That's funny. That's funny.
But so you not only are we doing you're doing this in regards to like obstacles in the river, but you were also like mentioning that you guys wanted to pinpoint other features and like, you know, something that's cool, like something that you're seeing out on the river or like, you know, on bike trails and stuff. You want to come up, let people know kind of some of the other like options that people have to be able to pin.
So right now, the way that it's set up, we're still kind of trying to figure out exactly what that niche looks like. Right. As far as like what people are wanting to make note of. There are some really cool old bridges and, when you're floating the Des Moines River, where it could be like the Sixth Street Bridge from underneath is way different than up on top of it, right? So to be able to kind of drop the pin and be like, man, those swallows are crazy. Like there's graffiti down here that's really cool. That kind of stuff. And it seems silly, but anything, any pin that you drop, you can make a comment on, right? So if it's like a historical site or a cool place to stop or like I had said, the original idea was for vendors. So renters, tour guide, like water tour guides. I know that there are like fishing guides, that kind of stuff. And it just kind of grew from there, mainly to my dad's dismay that I have this like weird safety mentality where I'm like, we have to make sure everyone knows everything. Yeah. Right? And like the idea is that like, I want to know. So I assume that you want to know too. And so, sites to see, things to look out for, sandbars, cool places to like stop and, cause I don't know how familiar you guys are with like stopping and eating while you're, kayaking, but there's always that like one sandbar that like everybody stops and, you know, can camp out on or.
Yeah. We have a ton of kayak and canoe, rentals, especially on one specific river here. We have the Great Miami River and the Little Miami River.
Sure.
The Great Miami has some rental stuff, but it's on the northern side more. There's a main one and then one or two up like in about, I don't know, what is that, Brad? Like 30-minute drive up north.
Yeah.
But the Little Miami River is our more scenic river here, and it has a ton of them. Like, I took the kids out. We went on a trip, and it was obnoxious, the amount of people. Like, I mean, I'm talking – I was in a group of over 100 people trying to fish. Like, I was like, let's just sit back and wait. But they just kept coming in waves. It was insane. But it's cool to see everybody out there, you know.
Right.
But, you know, something like this, this app is going to provide people with some – safe opportunities to you know, kind of take advantage of. And not only that, but you know, you mentioned the sandbar. I used to do a lot of canoeing, and back in the day it was always like two or three little beached areas that everybody would pull off. And also say this, you know, it was like a lot of partying going on, but they'd have a rope swing out there and stuff like that. And but one thing that we ended up having, and Brad, I think you've probably seen this, right before you get to Loveland, we have a restaurant that's right there on the river, and they did something where you can actually stop your boat and go up there and have dinner and a drink or something, you know, and jump back on the river and take off. Like it's, and they got live music. You can hear it like clear as day as you know, there's a lot of people kind of hanging out in the water down there. And it's cool because I'd like to see more things like that, you know. Obviously, I'm not a big person for people to be out drinking while they're kayaking just because I know how dangerous it is. Sure. And the more we've gotten involved with this. But, you know, I mean, if you're responsible and you go out there and you have some a lunch or whatever, it's a cool little stop, you know. And, you know, an app like this, if somebody's out of town, they may not know that that's there, and they, you know, get a rental and somebody's pinpointed that. That's really cool. So, and it's cool because you're making it global, you know, like I wouldn't know where to go if I came to Iowa, you know, and or what's kind of features and stuff. And, you know, when somebody's running a rental business, you're not going to be able to, you know, if, especially at summertime and it gets so busy, you guys aren't going to be able to be like, hey, you guys should stop here, here, and here, and here, you know, and watch out for this, because you just don't really have that much time. You guys are trying to get your boats packed and, you know,
right.
Most libraries are kind of running with skeleton crew, but you just don't have that much interaction time. You know,
we call it a family crew, right? Where like everybody's super invested in it. Mm-hmm. But that's the idea, right? And that's why we do the like for our rivers and our moving water. That's why we do the float first with the time lapse, so that even if we can't necessarily say this is exactly everything you're going to run into, good and bad, that at least you, if you're doing your homework, you could see on our Facebook. But that's part of the other thing is, are you going to check everybody's Facebook? Are you going to check their website? Are you going to check their forums? It kind of, in theory, puts it all in one thing in mm-hmm. your pocket, and you can take us with you and, you know, share the information that way.
So. I do want to go back because you mentioned people can comment on these pins and stuff within the 7 days.
Yeah.
Do you guys have the feature where somebody can take a picture of that strainer as well?
Not yet. So there are some things, like it's funny that you mentioned Waze, because a big thing that I wanted was to be able to have kind of an icon or like an avatar on the map, so that if you were going out, you can kind of make it so people can see you or can't see you, or you can find your friends in it, because inevitably I'm the person who's always late, because I have kids and you don't ever get anywhere on time. So it's that thing of like, cool, you guys are like four bends away. If you want to just like hang tight, we'll be right there. That's one of the features that we're thinking about integrating with DNR, but also being able to have pictures so that people can have a better idea
of what. That'd be cool. Like if you like hovered over the pin and it wouldn't have to necessarily blow up the whole like comment. Or like the latest comment in a picture attached, and then you could click on it then at that point, like it was a hyperlink, and then see like a full on picture in the comments. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So, and it's a work in progress. It turns out you can't make an app to be exactly what you want it in the first go.
Yeah. So, I believe it.
The weird perfectionist in me is like, so let's like not put anything out until it's exactly how we want it. And it turns out that's not the way. So these are the things that we've learned. There's a lot of improvements that can be made right now. Anybody who sends any feedback, it's coming directly to me. So if it's something where, you know, if you or listeners are like, actually, you know what exactly we're missing is a pin that I can drop that says X, Y, and Z. The problem is I think I've been so close to it that I'm like, yeah, it's perfect. It's great. You know?
Yeah.
So it is something that we're very open to feedback as far as if it is a feature. I know, like I said, the avatars, the pictures, the DNR, because even if it's a hyperlink at the, I don't know if your guys' rivers have like the sensors like ours do, but you can go and look at their site, like the NOAA site, and see, you know, what the flow is, what the height is at those certain points. And the idea is to eventually have that more accessible, because I think most people who don't spend as much time on and around the water as we do, they don't know where to find it. Like, it's just one of my bookmarks. It's like a thing that I do first thing in the morning, right? Like, I pull my phone up, I'm looking at the weather, I'm looking at what the river's doing, I'm looking at the creek is doing.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that. I check it every day.
I do it on days I'm not fishing. I'm like, why do I care? Like, I'm like, hey, Brad, how's the water clarity? I'm not getting out today, but is it a foot?
It's just something I like to, like, I don't know. It just comes, those spots that you have, it just comes with an experience of knowing the water levels.
Yeah. It's because, like, for us being fishermen, we watch that stuff, like, really, really closely, because we can match up a day that we were really successful based off of water clarity, air temperature, you know, what else, Brad? Flow rate, you know, like cubic feet per second. You know,
well, heck, the guy that comes to mind is Jason Myers. Every time he knows Middletown hits like 4 feet high, which is like 2 feet higher than normal, he's like, they're feeding like crazy in this spot.
Yeah.
And he goes out there and catches them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool because I think you would even have the option, Tiffany, if you guys were to be able to not only like, you know, you could link up like your, we call it Department of Natural Resources here, you know, but that information with the rivers, but you guys, because you're experienced with it, I think one of the things, not only is it hard to find it, find that information if you're not familiar with it. Like Brad and I have been reading these things for like 7 years, 8 years. So we kind of understand it. But if you are just a recreational paddler, you may not know what 1,000 cubic feet per second looks like on that specific river. And you guys would be have the opportunity, especially with, you know, having it kind of local, you know, with your rental, be like, hey, you know, 2,000 cubic feet per second is a manageable thing. It's this isn't like over your head, or you know, you could describe what that water flow is like, you know, and then it's like, hey, it's 15,000 cubic feet per second. You guys don't want to get on the water, you know.
Sure. We talked about with the Iowa Environmental Council kind of coming up with similar to skis, like trails, right? Mm-hmm. Is having like different symbols. So like like a more experienced kayak or canoeer can do this pretty easily. Or it'll be problematic.
Yeah. We have some good old fashioned idiots in our area. Our rivers got blown out. Like we're talking about how high did that jump go, Brad?
Last week?
Yeah. Like
probably 4 feet.
No, it went higher than that, didn't it?
No, I looked the day after it was like, at 9 feet.
I thought it was like almost 10 feet higher than what it was the day before. And I wasn't looking over like the normal pool rate, but anyways, like we had people that go out in that and they're in a recreational little pelican thing, you know, with no life vest on, just jump out there and go with it. And it's like, what are you guys doing? And it's heartbreaking because we hear these stories every year of, you know, people doing this and they just get out and they're like, oh, well, that's fast. That looks fun. It's like, you don't understand. Like one of our old hosts on here has a story where literally he almost died. And it was one of his first times going out and he went on the river and it was flooded out and he didn't realize what it does. And he got pushed straight into a bunch of submerged or not submerged, but flooded out trees. And, you know, he got stuck on one. He literally got really lucky.
Yeah.
And he sold his kayak, I think, like the next day. And but you know, it's things like that that an app like this would help people because you know it's you know, you can go on a Facebook page and people are like, oh, it's blown out, but they kind of don't necessarily know that terminology. A lot of people that are talking like that people have access to are anglers a lot of time is where you're seeing like constant updates like that. And guys who fish tend to, they're on the water so much more than just a recreational paddler, you know, a lot of times we're out there longer, you know, and stuff like that. So we're always updating ourselves just because we got, you know, custom seeing it. But this app is awesome because I think that it would really help not only fishing and that stuff, but somebody who goes out, like, you know, they started getting into it recreational and they bought their new kayak, you know, and they're not really talking to somebody at a rental place. They're now doing it themselves. They're transporting it themselves, you know?
And so I think, and like, along with like the safety aspect of it too, is that like, if it is something where, like we have the ability in the app to, maybe Brad, you were able to actually get into it and see there's, some welcome screens that are in there. That we could even have, and we've talked about having that, like, hey, are you getting your own kayak? Make sure you go to a lake, even if it's for a half an hour, to get more familiar with how your boat handles, how it tracks. If you've never used a paddle before, make sure your life jacket holds you, those sort of things. And they seem so elementary to us, right? Like, we do it all the time. My kids don't even think that kayaks are fun anymore because it's all we do all year is we talk about getting ready for kayaks and then we do kayaks and then we like recover from kayaks and now we're doing this app about kayaks and my daughter's 12 and she's like, Mom, can we like not for like a month? And I'm like, you can have maybe January.
That's funny.
You know, So, and that's kind of the idea, right? It's just that, like, there is a lot of information that we take advantage of just knowing. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the app here. I guess we could talk a little bit more about the features. So you hit the plus button at the top yep. right and then hit the drop pin button. And you guys got a bunch of different
options. Yeah.
Options, yeah, like water level high, water level low, blockage strainer, portage sandbar, animal fish migration, visual point of interest, like you mentioned, historical point of interest, low head dam. That's big.
Yeah,
because we have a ton of those on our river.
Yeah, so do we. So that's I think how we're aware of it is that there are a ton of them here.
Yeah, and our river, like well. Our river has a map that you can look at online, but it's not up to date. You know what I mean? So there's a couple dams in the area that are still on the map that aren't there anymore. Yeah. So it'd be kind of nice to know those aren't there.
To know they're not there, to know. Like I know here on the Des Moines, because the water is so low, they actually put the dam up to hold water back recently. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we have... We have some like where they were low head dams and they've actually destroyed, they're working on destroying a lot of them. And what they are doing in places, some of these are actually like building like kayak features, you know, like yeah. We don't have any like crazy like whitewater features like that here, but they are making like these little seams and there's rocks out there and that sort sure. of thing. They're not real extensive, but you know, some of the whitewater guys can get in there and, you know, do some stuff, but it's
cool to watch them.
Yeah. You should try it, Brad, on your Bonafide.
No, I'm good.
Why not?
Oh, that would be a difficult thing. Bonafides are gorgeous, man.
Yeah. Brad, I say we do a video of it. All right. When it gets real hot, we'll go downtown and we'll just take our kayak. Or wait, I can't take mine.
Let's just get whitewater ones from the shop.
Or maybe we'll ask Sean Tate if we can use one of those rentals. And we got to make sure they're sitting on tops. I don't want to do it on the sitting side. Like not a recreational one with you know without a skirt. But I was just thinking about it, like doing it in mine. I'm like, dude, I would sink that thing in a heartbeat. Like
Sean, I'm gonna mention this app to Sean because I think it'd benefit him.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a guy who has started up his own business where he's kind of doing rentals and shuttling.
Yeah,
and he's making himself like real mobile with it. Like he's doesn't have like he's not like a library, you know, with a shop like a takeout point. Like he'll meet up with people, and you can rent his kayaks and stuff like that. And he's it's taken off, man. Like you know, at first he was like, yeah, you know, it's here and there. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, I'm booked every day of the weekend. Like he's
on it's moving kinda, water. It's sorry, this dog is like the neediest.
Oh, it's fine.
Thing we've ever met. So on moving water, on lakes here, you're not always fully booked. But on moving water, it's hard because a lot of people don't want to transport, have a car at the beginning and end, right? They want to park their car, you pick them up, you get them on the water, and then they like float back to their car essentially. Yeah. And so we've had a lot of that. And I apologize if I've been kind of not the greatest about it. I like the safety and the community side of our. Mm-hmm. Our app the most. And like I mentioned maybe a couple times is the original idea was to have it be for vendors and renters when you go places. So there are no Google ads. There are no targeted ads necessarily. Within the app, the ad space that we will sell will be for Bonafide, for Yak Gadget, for
that's cool.
NRS, that stuff. Because the idea is, right, like it's beneficial on both sides.
Yeah.
The vendors know who they're marketing towards. They're people who are using those products, right? Yeah. And then the flip side of that is that like you're not getting ads for clickbait games.
Yeah. Like, see, those are the kind of ads I won't mind seeing. If I see a Yak Gadget ad, I'm gonna be like, sweet.
Yeah, right. So that's the idea is that that the ads that you do see will be relevant to what you're doing. And we'll be able to kind of showcase newer brands who are coming out, or mm-hmm. brands that like we love and support a lot that will all go through us. But then also, so there are two types of profiles. Well, technically three, but only two public type of profiles. There's a user profile or a renter profile and a vendor profile. So like your friend who is doing rentals for himself, right? Not that he needs the help to have people find him to book, but people can find like where he's at. They can find his contact number. And there is a cost associated with the vendor side, but not with the user side. So that's kind of where the development of it, because, you know, as much as we would love to make an app that has no ads and only ever gives out good information, you know, we'd have to have a pretty substantial Patreon to be
right. You're like, wait a minute, did we just spend a bunch of money and nothing's happening? Like, you know, like that would be really frustrating. I mean, you're gonna have to do that. I mean, anytime you're doing anything social media wise like that, you have to find advertisement of some sort. Like, sure. you know, it's or you're just literally doing it for free, which is not a big deal if you're doing it for fun and you enjoy doing it for free, you know. But I know that there's a lot of money that goes into developing apps. I've had a couple friends that have attempted some things, and you know, they've gotten like halfway through and they're like, I just can't do it. I can't, you know, it's like you said, I think they kind of had the issue of where they were like, I want it to be this, this, and this, and this. And, you know, and they're like, I can't afford to put everything that I want into it yet, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, and that's kind of why we've, the parts that are in it now are the pieces that we felt the most strongly about, right? Like you mm-hmm. could probably live without having an avatar on your mm-hmm. map, right?
Right.
But like, if you could see the pin drops that keep you and people coming behind you safe, then that's kind of the ideal situation.
Yeah.
I'm glad Josh brought that up, because I want to talk about the process of creating an app. Like, I'm completely clueless. So how do you go about that?
Well, we have developers. As much as my dad probably wishes that it was something, a skill set that I just had to start in developing apps, we had developers and we've worked with them pretty closely. The original, like I said, the original idea was more to be like just rentals, right? That you could search other places. And that's been done and done again. And so I am self-taught marketing, if you will. And I was like, hi, we're not bringing any value. We're not bringing anything new. There's nothing that's going to help us stand out from everybody else who is providing rental information for a fee to the vendor. And from the vendor side, as well as the renter side, right? Like, you don't, as a renter, we're not going to pay somebody money to advertise to just all of Facebook necessarily. You know what I mean? Because we want it to be in our area, and we want it to be for people who are interested in doing what we provide. So it kind of was a matter of like my grand idea of I want avatars and I want to be able to search these things and I want water levels and I wanted all of these things. And then between my because it's my dad's business that I work for and you know, have been developing this with. And he goes, yep, budget though. Keep in mind this, as dads do, right? They say, yeah, that's great. But like, remember, everything costs money.
Yeah.
So he's like, cool. So what are the most, he's like, he made me write it out. Like, what are the things that we have to do with this app versus what would you like to happen with this app? And so this is kind of where we're at, is this bridge between all of my hopes and dreams of what I would like an app on my phone to be able to do. Because if I could mash together like Waze and Runkeeper and, you know, rentals and all of this to bring it all into one, I would love to. We just don't have the time or the budget for it. The things that like, as far as the app development goes, that you don't really think about is where the buttons are, what the icons are. It all seems like very intuitive where you're like, yeah, of course this is what the home button looks like. But like, we've had hour long meetings talking about, does it look like this? Are you sure it's not going to be confused with that? If it's up, if it's an Android, can it be on this corner of the thing? Cause it might actually interfere with like where the menu part is. So there's a lot of stuff that like you think is so obvious until you have like 12 people working on it and you go, actually nothing's obvious, turns out, and wording is weird and we all say things differently and, you know, all that good stuff. So, I had warned you guys that like my 4-year-old and these 3 dogs may come and interrupt. So if you can hear them,
it's okay.
The kid went back downstairs, but the dogs don't listen to him. So
it's all right. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and sometimes Brad and I end up having to record an episode on a day that I don't have them here. And you see the stairs right here.
Sure.
Once in a while, you'll see a head poke out and then his little body come around the corner.
They'll start running behind him. I just laugh.
Or they'll just sit back there and like look around and laugh and wave. And I mean, I've got a Pokemon balloon behind me right there. Sure. and a bunny and a giant stuffed frog. I have Hot Wheel tracks right there. Yeah.
Sure. I picked my like least like offensive corner of my whole house.
That's I've just moved here recently, so I'm like, I need to figure out. I had the background kind of like Brad did, had a bunch of fishing stuff set up in the background and moved, and now I don't have that kind of space. I need to flip my desk around and get it to in this corner and put up some stuff, but I got to get a desk that supports this monstrosity of a microphone setup. So it's I really like what you guys are doing, and it, you know, that's like that with any app. Like, don't let it frustrate you, because you guys are going to, you're going to keep adding to it little by little. Every app does that. They find bugs, they find new features. And that's kind of a cool thing that you guys will keeping it fresh. Like, it's like, hey, check out what we added here,
right?
You know, and it's just going to make it, you know, better. And like, you can, like you said, you can make it user driven where it's like, you're getting ideas from people, you know, that are actually utilizing it. And that'll help spread the word. Like, that person is going to tell, you know, 3 or 4 of their friends who are into kayaking or whatever. Right. So, you know, and then especially with the vendor idea, it's a great idea, because you can look up and say, oh, okay, I'm going to Iowa, but you necessarily don't know what those rivers are called, you know?
Right.
And that sort of thing. So if you guys have that information, like these vendors here in this city or in this area, it's going to help, you know. And, you know, you can even get it to where it's like got reviews, you know what I mean? Like, hey, this place is really cool. They got comfortable kayaks, because I've been in some places and I'm like, that's the worst kayak I've ever sat in. Like, I'd rather punch holes in that thing than ever paddle it down a river again.
I can picture you doing that.
Just doof, 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 like, I don't know why your boat came back. Sorry, man. I mean, my first time kayaking was one of the worst experiences of my life. I've never had so much back pain, but
yeah,
you know, it's, I've told you that story over and over, Brad, when I went with Matt and all those guys, and it was straight awful. Like, I would paddle for like 15 minutes. My back would hurt so much. I'd get out and fish for an hour.
Yeah.
Paddle for 15 minutes, get out.
What kayak was that again?
It was that little Field and Stream Sit Inside.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Talon or something like that. Yeah. Or Eagle.
Yeah, it was a spare that Matt had, and he let me borrow it. And I was like, And I've heard that from a lot of people, actually. A lot of people who don't kayak and they get in some of those rental boats, they talk about how it can be pretty uncomfortable in some of them, you know? Yeah. So I think that app would be cool, because you could pinpoint like certain places, like, hey, this place has comfortable seats, they have sit on tops, or they have this kind of boat, or, you know, that sort of thing.
The other thing that pops in my mind is access points. I know, like, the access map for our river here. I can't tell you how many times I've went to an access spot and it's just like, this ain't an access spot. You're walking through woods. You know what I mean? Sure. Yeah. So is that something you guys have or offer? Or?
So that's kind of part of it, is like I had said before, partnering with like our DNR, like you guys have probably a different group who does it.
Well, and there's also access. There's also areas there's another app out there that people tag access spots, and they're spots that don't show up on the river map itself. You know what I mean?
Right. And you know what, Brad, it's kind of, here's something that I've always noticed, especially with our river maps. Like, we have a ton of great maps, but they're too good.
Yeah. It is literally one of the most obnoxious things to look at our DNR.
Yeah, it's too much going on.
There's so many symbols. I mean, there's so much stuff that's stacked up on each other. I'm like, I don't care that there's a picnic table there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or I mean, it's a great thing, but it's like the way that they have it, it's just so condensed and it's hard to read. Like, I'm like, I'm familiar with this river and I have no clue what I'm looking at half the time when I'm looking at it.
Yep.
Is it a digital map or is it a paper map?
Both. You can get a digital version of it and it's pretty much the same. And it's stacked with so much stuff now. Like, and a lot of it, in my opinion, is not needed necessarily. It's just, it's super extensive. Like,
sure. Brad, you're looking at it. The idea, right, is, to be able to filter,
mm-hmm.
right, what you want to look at. Because you may want to look at rental spots and not want to look at associated businesses along the water trails, right? And hopefully at some point we'll be able to kind of have a way that we can filter. Again, it's all that stuff that, like, it'd be cool, but, like, not where we're at exactly right now. But if you could be like, cool, I don't really care if there are access points here. I just want to see the hazards, or I just want to see cool sites, or I just want to see if there are events in the area. Mm-hmm. I just want to see picnic tables, right? If you can filter to just be able to see the picnic tables, that would be helpful. Interactive maps are cool in that there are thousands of ways that you can filter them. It's just a matter of, like, if we have that on our back end, and it'll kind of be determined by what people are looking for, right? Because if it ends up that we kind of have a higher fishing demographic than we had originally anticipated, there may be more pins related to that versus how it is right now. So it's all very soft right now, to where, like, we're looking for the input as far as, like, are we looking for four places to stop, four places to fish, that kind of stuff. And it's kind of in its infancy. And that's why I'm like, it'd be great if we could have more people using it to see what they are dropping pins for, what they're dropping pins, but then the comments maybe don't match. Like, I'm not really sure what to do here, so I did low water, but really it's because we had to travel through, you know, a football field of woods to get to the water. It's not really an access.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The idea as far as the accesses go is, so when I mentioned before, there are actually three types of profiles. There are users or renters and vendors, and there's also a DNR or a government admin is actually what we're calling it. And so, like, if there are cities that have accesses that they want to be able to put into it, or different things, because we're not everywhere, right? So the idea is to eventually have feedback from the cities themselves. I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, you're all right. It's just got her dog is going crazy. But, you know, Brad, like you were talking about, like, this app would help with, you know, how we've got a couple of our access points and you think that it's right on the river and it's not. You know, it's like a 50-yard walk from the parking lot through the woods or whatever. And it's kind of, sometimes it's sketchy. Like it's an access point, but it's like 2 feet of mud.
The spot that comes to mind is downstream from the Troy Dam. There's an access spot there, but you park on the side of the road that's down the street from the bridge. And then you got to carry your kayak down across the bike path and then through like weeds. I'm like, God, this is not an access spot. Come on.
Have you been on the Little Miami River, Brad? And it's kind of like near Caesars Creek a little bit, and there's an access point, and it's literally the muddiest place I've ever been into. Like, and we took out there, and I'm like, these guys, like, yeah, you just jump out. I'm like, dude, that's how you lose your shoes, man. Like it is awful, and it'll clear up once in a while, but most of the time you're looking at it's like 2 feet deep. I'm like, and then it's like it looks like people tried to like back their trucks, so they just keep tearing it up more, and it gets more and more muddy.
You remember that spot I had me, you, and Justin take out at?
Oh, Brad took us out where he said it was a takeout, and it wasn't. It was a, like, it was nothing but big rocks and overgrown stuff.
And you had and to drag up the rocks.
Yeah, and like it took like all three of us to do each kayak at a time, and I broke a rod. Like, oh, no. I'm like, Brad, that's not a takeout. He's like, sure it is. I'm like, no, it's not.
That's what, it said on the map.
Take your boat out. So when we've gone kayaking, my brother is not a tall kid, but he's really strong, right? So like when I go there, the access that like the out point that we use for one of our rental spots is not actually an access. It just happens to be like a bike path that runs near the water. And there's kind of, it's not as muddy or rocky as other places. And it's close to a parking lot, like up the hill. And I like struggle and like kind of like fall over trying to like with my squishy wet shoes trying to get up the side. And my brother just like gets out and like tosses kayaks like up and over the bank. And I'm like, no, it's fine. It's just, I just made it look much harder than it ever needed to look. And so I completely understand that. But it's one of those things where like we have to explain to people, like it's not an access like you're getting in. Like the access point that we have to get in, there's a nice ramp. There's ample parking. It's well lit all night. So if you don't get back to your car till later, it's not a big deal. There's like porta potties at the access. The other one, we're like, there's a gas station near a hill. You can park, kind of. Try not to use their park, like their parking lot so much. Try to park to the side. So it is trying to get that information out, because if you've never done it before, like I said, we've been doing it since we were kids. Like I'm renting in the same town that I like went to high school in, right? So I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's Beaver Creek. This is what it is. And now it's nice because there's a place to get in and not be on the base. So, you know, there's all of those kinds of things. And if you could give the feedback, I would love, you know, if there are any DNR, like, what else did you call it? The Department of?
Yeah. Ours is a Department of Natural Resources, like ODNR.
Yeah. So if there are like listeners of yours who are like, hey, I'm in this area and like kind of the way that they map things is garbage, hit me up, because it's all stuff that we would like to build out, and we're not there. I've started to, as I see things on kayaking forums, on Facebook groups, and people are like, this access doesn't show up on regular maps and it's right here. And they're sending like, they're sending screenshots, and I'm like dropping pins into the app, like, cause accesses stay, like accesses are permanent. So it's like hazards and those things that fall off within a week. So I'm like trying to like find these bits and pieces that people are sharing. But it'd be really cool to have help getting those accesses from people who are more familiar with the area. So I said, there's that third type, that of user where it really is, they can put in access points and hazards. Like they're not trying to book rentals or anything like that. That, you know, like I said, if there are DNR people out there, city people that are out there, I know that they're here in Iowa, there are county people who are excited to like be able to get into it once there's an Android platform and get into it and be using it. So,
I just made an obstruction on the map on our river.
What is it?
Under the Needmore Road Bridge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know that big log jam that's right there?
No.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been there in a while. Now I do, Brad. Thank you.
I'm just messing with it right now. But this screen right here, here we go. Mm-hmm. These buttons on this side.
Yep.
What are these? What do they do?
Those are filters. So, oh, okay. The top one. So for example, like I mentioned earlier, there's a bar called Captain Roy's that we're going to be partnering with, and they are very river friendly. Like they work with the marina that's there and all that good stuff. And so that kind of purple handshake, that is that they will eventually have a purple handshake pin. We just haven't built them out yet because they're affiliated. They may be, you know, they may pay for advertising to be on there and that kinds of stuff. I can't remember. Hang on. I'll get it pulled up. You'd think that I'd have my app pulled up to be able to do it. The brown kind of boat, those are specific accesses, right? So you can have mm-hmm. them turned on or turned off if that's what you're looking for. And then the hazards you can turn on and off as well. So if you were looking okay. just for rentals, or if you were looking just for accesses, you can do that by those filters. And there'll probably be more eventually. We were just trying to get it to where if you just wanted to see renters or access points or vendors, those sort of things, that you can kind of weed out and not have to look at all of the pins.
Yeah.
If you were looking for something specific.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Cause that's like I said before, when you look at our river maps, cause we've got extensive ones in our area, and they're obnoxious. It's like, it's hard to read them cause there's so much stuff on them. And, you know, to make a mapping system that is providing not only like, you know, like a restaurant on there or whatever, or some cool sites and things like that, but it's also, you can filter out the things that you do or looking for. And that's, right. that's kind of important. Cause it, like people are always asking like, hey, where's this access point? And it's like, it's on the map, dude. Like here, I'd rather just go ahead and screenshot Google Maps and send that to you than explain to you how to find it on that map. Because it's insane. Like Brad, you should see if you can find it real quick. Find What's a GMR, that? Like one of our maps. So she All has right. an idea of how obnoxious this thing looks. Like it's a lot of stuff. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But like, you almost have to like be used to looking at it. Like, I don't feel like if somebody is a beginner at it, like this, your idea is going to cater to experience and beginners, you know, right. it's going to bring it down some. That's the thing is a lot of times you get the DNR stuff. It starts to evolve and starts to get so much stuff. Cause people are like, hey, this should be on it. This should be on it. But it's just like, here's the map. Right. Now you can't do anything with it. It's just an image, you know? Right. And it's like, it's insane. But what is one of your favorite features about it?
My favorite feature is it's the water level, like pin option. The fact that you can search anywhere, you can now look at just the whole United States. Sorry, there's a lot. Like I said, I've been kind of at it with a microscope. The thing that I like the most about it is that it allows me to tell people anywhere the information that I'm telling them at the access where we have our rental trailer parked, right? To where I can say, hey, you're going to get about 3/4 of the way down and there's going to be a tree that goes across the whole thing. Keep to the left. You'll have to kind of like swamp walk a little bit, but it's way better than sinking your kayak or canoe. Because my brother calls me the most aggressive salesperson he's ever met. And he's wrong. I'm just very friendly. And also like, if I have information, I'm going to share it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I will talk to everyone in our parking lot, whether they approach me or not. Just because, especially if we know what's coming downriver, usually I'll start with like, hey guys, when was the last time you went down the Beaver? Because here's what you're going to be running into. Right. Because we've had people who went down in canoes, which is very impressive when you float a canoe on 2 feet of water in sharp turns. And they've come up to me later and been like, hey, so you remember that tree you told me about? And I'm like, that tree I told everyone about? Yeah. And they're like, so we hit it and we didn't listen to what you said. And we really wish that we would have. And I'm like,
oh man.
So remember when I told you to download that app? Maybe do that.
No. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, I like the idea that we can, even if you're not sitting in the parking lot, you can share that information to keep people safe. But like, very excited about the advertising possibilities and the vendors and the renter stuff. But like, for me, being the data statistic nerd that I am, I want to know what I'm getting into, that I have the ability to tell people coming behind me what I found, and just having that resource so easily accessible to people. Because it's one of those things, you don't necessarily have to have it open the whole time that you're on the water. But if before you go down, you just quick look at the app and see what you're going to run into on your way, that's key. Yeah. At the end, kind of the Beaver Creek that we rent on connects to the Des Moines River, and where they're doing construction on a bridge. which isn't creating any logjam issues this year, but there's a barge that moves. And so it changes the flow of the river, the Des Moines River. And it's a thing where, like, we've talked to the DOT and the DNR and pretty much anybody and everybody that we can talk to kind of get an idea of, like, how safe is it actually and realistically? And everything that comes back is they ultimately say to us, like, don't send anyone under it.
Yeah.
We can't stop people in their own kayaks, but don't send, because, like, there were last summer, a lady got, like, the current took her under the barge and she got stuck under the barge and she lived. But it's that thing of, man, wouldn't it have been cool if somebody could have just, like, told her ahead of time not to do it or to be more aware of it, or, you know. And so that's the part, to, like, make the longest answer to a question ever, is that's the part, is that ability to share those hazards. And that communal knowledge, right? Yep. Because, like you said, it does kind of not dumb it down, but it does kind of put people on more even ground between people who are very familiar, who wake up every morning and look at the water levels, versus people who go, I don't know, maybe there's water in the creek. We'll find out after our tubes are halfway down.
Yeah.
Well, we have an issue where some of our rivers, and, like, this app would help this, because if you're looking at the gauges, you know, we have gauges, you know, like in certain cities, we don't have them, like, up and down.
Right.
And then you've got a lake that's fed by, you know, it's the lake has a creek or a tailwater coming out of it. Right.
Sure.
And then it connects up to the bigger river, and they'll release that water. Like, Brad, like what we're dealing with at Loveland right now, yep. Loveland can't open because Caesars Creek is releasing so much water. But if somebody launches upstream for that, they have no idea that that's happening. That's possible. True. You know, that, you know, the Caesars Creek tailwater sections just shooting water out like crazy.
Right.
And, but we're upstream from it. It's all nice, calm, normal pool, you know,
right.
And then come around the bend, like, what's up, this brown water? Why is everything in the trees down here? You know?
Sure.
I didn't even think about that. It's a good point.
Cause I we used to paddle that all the time, man, you know, and you wouldn't know that by looking at the gauge of where maybe you're starting at, you know, or in that area upstream. So.
Yep, for sure. Here, I was going to share this screen. This is what Josh was talking about earlier. just with all this information on this map.
Yeah, if you didn't know what most of that was, you wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah, and it's so small too. Like, a lot of times when you're trying to look at it, and you want to look at it as the big view, you're like, man, this is obnoxious. Well,
they crammed the whole river on one page.
Yeah. Sure. So looking at this, like the page one, it's actually like portrait up and down, right? And you're just zoomed into one tiny part of it, right?
Yeah.
Oh man. How big do they print it out? Like,
actually, it's in sections, and if you look at that.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's hard to read.
I mean, look at the key in the middle of it.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah, it should. It's like,
but, like, I'm sure spots. Like, it's got a lot of, like, good information, but
it does. But it has like every parks. It's just weird. It's too much. There's a lot of stuff they need to trim down out of it. I think that would make it a little bit more user friendly. But
yeah. Me.
Oh man.
And everybody's like, yeah, there's this highly detailed map. I'm like, that's an understatement. That thing is a hot mess, man.
Most people probably won't know how to read that by looking at it either.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, man. Yeah, so the idea, though, is for it to be a much simpler map that can be filtered, and you can look at specifically where you want to look at, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to look at the whole river. You can just look at the section that you're going to be on, right?
Yep. All right. Brad, did you have any other questions? Is there anything else, Tiffany, that you wanted to talk about?
I hit the vendors. I hit the ads. Like I said, feedback is welcomed, because it is a thing that when you do get too close to it, you have a hard time discerning what you should be adding or removing or making better. It really is a matter of like getting it in people's hands, taking us with you when you do go down the water trails, the bike trails, the hiking trails, to find those hazards, to find that community with. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, it's okay. I totally understand.
An hour is a long time to
watch. We're actually about to wrap it up, but
yeah.
And say so he's like, the back door is right there, so like I let the dogs out and now he needs his shoes. And cool. So if you could not necessarily use me talking about my kid trying to escape. So yeah, the idea is that like the bike trails, the hike trails, the water trails, it's that getting that information so that it is the community side of it, right? It's that information that you want to know, that you want people coming behind you to know. It's who, you know, the information that when you were starting out, you wish people would have been more helpful in telling you, like, hey, so that you don't get your kayak pinned on this log here, be aware, right? And so that you don't break your rod trying to get up off of a riverbank, you know, go 20 more yards and there's actually a beach that you can get out on, that kind of stuff. Because the only way that you learn it is by doing it.
Yep. Agree with that.
Well, I commend you on coming up with a good idea. It's something that I've always kind of wanted to see out there, you know. You've got this kind of those apps where you can kind of measure your paddling distance and that sort of thing. And but I've always, you know, I've always kind of been a person to notice, be like, hey, that log jam last year is not there anymore, you know, but it's actually on the other side, you know, or it's in the center. There's a couple bends. There's one, me and Brad, when we go down near Middletown, there's a bridge. And when you're coming up to it, you're like, I don't, can you get through this?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And you can, it's actually got a decent area, but some of the spots that you think that you can get through is pretty sketchy because of the way the log jams are. And it's creating a bunch of weird current. And
I just did that recently too.
Yeah, it's super sketchy through there sometimes, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah.
And they take a long time to clear that stuff out if they do. I mean, I've seen some, like, I'm like, because we actually have a dam that you can actually paddle through. And it's super, like shallow. Like, at some point, it's like, and you can go down through it. But, and we used to. And then the next year, you couldn't. There was so much wood debris piled up that there was, and you could only get through on the right side of it, you know?
Talking
and
about it's just going.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to go through it. And,
It's an old traditional dam.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's got big, you know, opening and stuff like that, but it's super shallow and you can only do it like certain times. And obviously, if it's clear. You know, so I mean, I don't recommend people to do that. It was something that we've known for a while that you could, you know, and but then, like I said, the following year you weren't able to go through there. And
only way that you would know that is to have been down it and seen it both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we've gone and been like paddle up to it. Like, can we get through? Oh, nope, not today, you know, and which stinks because you start messing with moving water sometimes. If you might get yourself in a sketchy situation where you can't get back upstream and you're forced up next to it, you know?
Right. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tiffany, we appreciate you coming on to the episode to talk about the app. You know, I wish you guys all success with this. I'd love to see it get real huge and, you know, go global and or national or whatever it is your guys' goal is. That would be awesome.
Right now, national, you know, soon to hopefully take over the world. It takes a lot of translation to do that. It's just more time and effort that way. But the idea is to make it as global as possible.
Cool.
And, you know, like I said, that community information is what it's all about and what we want to make sure that we kind of foster that as well as fostering the rental business. We're big fans of small local businesses and people, like I said, like my dad started because nobody else bid. And now here we are 4 years later. And it's, I don't know if you can tell, I'm not this color. in February. I'm very, very pasty. And then I spend like 6 months of the year out of the sun and 6 months out of the year always in the sun. So, so it's a thing that, we're passionate about the vendors. We're passionate about the information, and we just want to make sure that, we want to share with other people. We want to, like, I think one of the things that I put on all of our social media stuff is like, take us with you. And I feel like I'm just in all of these Facebook groups saying like, if you're going down this river, cause they're like, hey, we're going down this river. Has anybody been down? What's it like? I'm like, hey, when you go, can you drop some pins on?
Yeah.
So that like people coming behind you know, and there's less of this kind of mystery. I mean, there's always mystery because water will never be tamed by us.
Right. It's ever changing, but you can give that up-to-date information by people utilizing it. So
it's an easy app to use, guys. Check it out. I mean, I've been playing with it this whole time, just, you know, while we're talking.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Tiffany, thanks again for, you know, joining us. Like I said, it was a pleasure talking about this. It's a great idea, and we look forward to seeing how big this thing gets. And, you know, if anybody has any like questions or concerns, I'm sure Tiffany would be more, you know, happy to help you guys out. Check out the social media. If you guys have seen it, it's running on the ticker on the bottom. And with that, and actually go ahead, Tiffany, let them know on Facebook for our people to just listen to audio.
The Kayak Venture app, which would be the Kayak Venture _ app, all run together on Instagram as well as Facebook. And then our website is kayakventure.app. So,
awesome. All righty. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you for joining the final cast this week, and we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.